Lord, I just ask you for your wisdom, and I ask you, Father God, to speak through me. God, I just give myself to you as a vessel. Without you, Lord, I can do nothing.
Yes, sir.
But Lord, I do declare by faith that with you great things can occur. And for that, I thank you. I praise you, Lord. So, Lord, I submit myself to you, and I ask you, Lord, to have your way. Have your way in me. Have your way in these men. Lord, teach us all. As this message unfolds, teach us all. I ask it in Jesus' name for your glory and praise. Amen.
Amen.
If you'd open your Bibles with me to Matthew 16, please. 16th chapter, 24th verse. I want to talk to you about something that I've talked to you about before over and over. But this time, for some reason, it just seems like I see something different in this passage that I haven't really paid attention to or seen before, and I think it's important, so let's look at it. If anyone desires to come after me, I'm reading the red words, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Seems so finite, doesn't it? Seems so definite. If you're going to follow me, you got to deny yourself. You got to pick up your cross. You got to come after me. Man, there's no room for slack there. He doesn't say, if anyone desires to come after me, occasionally you'll have to deny yourself. And once in a while, you'll find yourself having to pack a cross around. It's not what he says. He says very definitely, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Let him pick up his cross. What? And follow me. Listen to me. With God, if you want God's will, if you want God's blessings, it's either all God's way or it's no way at all.
Right.
We do it all God's way or there's no other way.
Yeah.
Yet there is a way that seems right unto man, it says. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Proverbs. There's a way that seems right unto man, yet the end thereof is death or separation. So let's look at 25. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What is he talking about when he talks about saving your life? What's he talking about there in verse 25? He's talking about finding a better way or doing it your way rather than his way. Jesus was confronted with the same dilemma in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he asked the disciples to stay, and he was going over here to pray, and he asked the Father, if there be any other way, take this cup from me. And the Father would answer him, and Jesus' response was, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done, Father. He had to do that three times. But you see, he was faced with an opportunity to say, if there's any other way. He was hearing something in his head. He was feeling something in his flesh. He was under the pressure. He was sweating great drops of blood. I don't think any of us have been under that kind of pressure. But he was beginning to toy with an idea. Father, is there a better way than this? Where we was planning this out, did we miss something? Because, Father, this is really hard down here. This is really tough. And Jesus goes on to say, for what profit is it if a man gains the whole world yet loses his soul? Look at that. I was told by a student one time that was on his way out early. He was leaving on his own accord. He had to get going. He just had to, make tracks while the sun, I think his comment to me was, I got to make hay while the sun shines. What's that mean? Well, I got to go out and make some money. I got to get life started. I said, God bring you here? Well, yeah, he brought me here. I said, then what are you doing? You're trying to save your own life. I quoted verse 25. I'm not, you know, in my eloquent way of quoting it. I didn't verbatim. I said, you're trying to fight and save your own life. His response to me triggered something in me, and he says, yeah, but I can still produce things. I can still do things. I'll be fine. He went out, and yeah, he's in business, and he's quite successful today. See, when we're saying if you quit early here, it's not that you're going to fail at life for the rest of your life or intention forever. It's not that you can't do good things. Listen to me. Man can do good things. He said here, what if you win the whole world? He's indicating there's good things you can do, but at what cost? What cost are those good things going to be done? Or what cost are those business things going to be done? Or those family things going to be done? What's the cost? Well, do you mean the moment I leave early, I've lost my soul? No, that's not what I'm saying. But it's a step in a backward direction. Mm-hmm. You understand?
Yeah.
If the world or the enemy or your flesh... Here's another thing he said to me. He said, God gave me a mind. I don't have to just follow blindly. God gave me a mind. Yes, He did. He gave you a mind and He expects you to use it. He doesn't expect your mind to use you. And I told him, you're following the feelings in your mind. You're following what the lies are your mind's telling you. Your mind's telling you there's a better way. And I'm telling you, there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is what?
Death.
Or separation. See, if we start backsliding, backward treading, if we start doing it our way, any time in our walk with God, that's the beginning of a backward slide. With God's way, it's in God's world, it's God's way or nothing. Yoo-hoo. It's either amen or oh me. Because it's true. That's what 16:24 and 25 and 26 is saying. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world? Verse 26. And loses his own soul. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? What's he saying? He's saying, if you're not following me the way it's designed you follow me, you are absolutely selling out your own soul. Yeah, you may go to the world, and the world may use you, and you may produce wonderful things. You might build skyscrapers and kingdoms, and the whole world may eventually bow at your feet because you've become so wonderful. But what about your soul? See, the most important thing on earth, more important than education, more important than marriage, more important than having children, more important than getting a job and being productive and paying taxes and voting and all these wonderful important things we have to do. More important thing than that is getting to know Jesus Christ and following Him every day of your life.
Amen.
That's the only safe way to live. There is no other safe way to live. Oh, the world, they'll entice you with a lot of things. Oh, shoot fire. There's a lot of little whispers that come into your mind and say, come on, let's do it this way. We can do it this way. I think there was one in the garden like that once. Sneaky snake. Always has a better way. There's always a better way. There's always going to be something offered. The world's going to offer to you. Your family may offer you a better way. You don't have to stay there. Come on. I'll get you a job. You'll live all right. You're looking good. You're healthy. You're strong. You've had that stuff out of your system for a period of time. Come on. Let's get life going again. As much as they love you, they're trying to entice you to go against God.
Yeah.
What does it profit a man if he wins the whole world or gains the whole world and loses his soul? So what if you can go out there and make billions of dollars? Who cares? So what if you can go out there and put your name on a ticket and get elected president of the United States? Who cares? Because if you end up losing your soul, what's it for anyway? That's just a sign you don't understand what life on this earth is all about. What is life on this earth all about anyway? What's the point? The point and purpose of life on this earth is to get to know God and to be able to work toward your final destination, eternity with God. God's plan was to create a family and to put them in paradise. And to let them live a life that is absolutely I don't even know how to explain it. It's got to be so good. Lord, no eye has seen, no ears heard, no mind can even conceive of the great things God has in store for them that love Him.
Yeah, amen.
How do we prove we love Him? By following Him.
Yep.
We prove we love Him by following Him. You keep looking at my finger. Got to be careful. That finger's got a nail in it. It might go off any second. Oh, my God. You understand what I'm talking about? I don't mean my finger and the nail. You understand what I'm talking about as far as getting... There's always going to be a shortcut. There's always going to be a shortcut. 1 Corinthians 3:13 through 15 talks about each man's work will be shown for what it is. There's a day coming. See, there is a day coming. When you and I and all the billions of people that have ever been will stand before God and give an account. I don't know how that's going to work. I haven't got a clue. All I know is what Scripture tells me. I can't read that upside down. I just need to turn it over. There's coming a day when we will give an account, gentlemen. In 1 Corinthians 3:13, did I say 3:13?
You did.
That's exactly where I wanted to say. What does it say? For there is a day coming when each man's work will be tested and proved for what it is. Huh? 1 Corinthians 3. Oh, I'm on 13. No wonder I can't find 1 Corinthians 3. I'm in 13.
Each one's work will become clear.
There you go.
For the one's work of what sort it is.
Yep.
They will declare it because it will be revealed by fire.
Hold it. Right there. The man's work, all men's work, all men's work will be revealed by fire. In other words, if it survives God's fire, it was made... eternally. It was made from eternal goods. It was made with precious jewels and gold and silver and all the things that come from God. It's
made not to burn.
It's made not to burn. If it burns, it was man's efforts. I'm telling you what, there's going to be one big bonfire on that day. And a lot of the stuff that's going to burn, I'm afraid, is going to be burnt as a produce of some ministry someplace. There's a lot of good things we could do. There's a lot of good ideas. There's a lot of needs. There's a lot of everything we could do. But what is God saying to do? See, to follow God and to really do what God's calling you to do, to really live that exciting life and to really live that purposeful way that you know that what you do on this earth is going to count throughout eternity, the only way to do that is to follow Christ. And to reject the idea that there's a better, simpler, easier, smoother road to take. We've got to make our bodies, our minds focus on Him and follow Him. Any man desires to come after me, he must, first of all, deny himself. That means when your mind starts arguing about, oh, there's got to be a better way than this. You can do better than this. This has got to be, oh, this is too hard. This is ridiculous. It's too hard. God wouldn't expect me to feel this bad. When those thoughts begin to come, you've got to say to your mind, shut up. Hush. You got to win the battle right there. Because if you give 2 seconds thought, if you entertain those thoughts for 2 seconds, they're going to turn into 2 minutes, which turn into 2 hours, which will turn into 2 days, and then it'll end up too bad.
Yep.
Because it'll talk you right out of it.
Yep.
Do you understand me, guys?
Yeah. Yep.
No, when you leave Teen Challenge, you're not automatically giving up your soul. But when you leave early, you're automatically beginning that slide backwards away from God's plan for you. You're all here for a reason. And this is your season to find the reason. Woo! I'm a poet and I know it. Okay. I tell you, this new tablet really does things. Oh, stupid machinery. Anyway. Machines and computers are going to take over one of these days, right? One of these days, a robot's going to walk up to your bedside and say,
Wake up. Wake up.
You don't have that lovely face of a staff on duty saying, come on, guys. Come on, guys. Let's go. Yeah, you have a machine. Slap you down, see? Yeah, anyway. Praise God. Now I want you to go to one last scripture. I didn't say this would be a long message. Revelations chapter 12. The heavy revy. Revelations. You thought I was the heavy revy.
Yeah.
Oh, no, my weight has nothing to do with this. Chapter 12, verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Isn't that nice?
Yep.
We're overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Isn't that true?
Yes.
Nope, it's not true. It's half true. Look at the rest of the sentence. And they did not love their lives to the death. In other words, they did not love their lives more than they loved the idea of overcoming in God's grace and God's power.
Amen.
The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony is powerful, 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 but it doesn't do anything if you can't stand the test of time. You got to stand the test of time. You got to persevere. That's how perseverance is built, for Pete's sake. Got to go through some tough stuff. Yeah, you do. We all do. We all. You think I haven't had opportunities to derail my walk with God? Mm-hmm. I've never been to Teen Challenge, except for, well, I've been here like 8 years, and I haven't learned enough, I guess. I'm still here. But you think I, maybe I didn't have any derail moments or opportunities to change, huh? Plenty. Plenty. Well, you got a congregation riding your back. Well, you got people who are hurting who... Just wait. There's worse places than this. This is a picnic. Yeah, the things you got to go through sometimes are tough. They are, they are, they are. Nobody's doubting that. Nobody's disqualifying that at all. But guys, listen to me. There are ways that seem right unto man, but the way thereof is death. The end result will be death. Separation, separation from God. People will leave and they'll go out and they'll work hard and they'll say, I'm not dead yet. They're dying, but they don't know it. That's sad. When you begin to die, you don't even know it. When you begin to step away from God's perfect plan and His directions for you, you're beginning to die. Listen. I have had some derail moments, and I've even taken a few. And I got out into no man's land one time, out into a place. I was still ministering, and I was still doing my thing, and I still looked pretty good from the outside looking in. Or, I mean, you know, people looking at. But my quiet times and my times with God was ending up being nothing. He wouldn't talk to me. I couldn't hear Him. It's like, oh my gosh, what happened? Where'd you go, Lord? One day He said, no place. He's here. I said, where'd you go, Lord? I was in the chapel weeping, trying to seek God. Where'd you go, Lord? He said, no place. He said, I'm where you left me. I'm where you left me, God said to me. Whoo! I feel the Holy Ghost tingle from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I even feel it today, remembering it. Like a puppy just crawled out of water. I'm where you left me, God said. I instantly knew what I had to do. I instantly knew, and I did. I began right then. I said, God, I don't ever want you to leave me. I don't ever want to leave you. Forgive me. And put me back where I left you. He said, see, I always ask God, you do too. Ask God to do the hard work. Put me back where I... He said, you know where you left me. You come back to me. But God, that means I got to make a change. I got to tell people I was wrong. Sure, I had some pity party baby moments in the chapel myself a lot of times. In my own church, in my own sanctuary. But following God, going through things that He said to me, if you don't go through this now, you will go through it in a worse state later. Ooh. And then He said, and I will always be waiting where you left me. I had to go back to the place I made a decision to try a different route, a better way, an easier road, a smoother sailing. I had to go back to that place. I had to have some meetings. I had to pull people together and I had to say, you know what, people, I'm wrong. I failed. But I'm not going to keep failing. I erred. I thought I had a better plan. It's not better. I need God more than I need everything else. And I went back to that place and had to go through those hard tasks of calling people together and telling them I was wrong and asking for their forgiveness and helping set their life right, because things we'd changed and things I started to do kind of upset some things, and oh, yuck. None of which I intended in the beginning. I was only trying to find a better way. There is no better way than God's way. There is no easier way than God's way. Oh, we can make it easy and do it our way, but what cost is it to you? I didn't have to go very far into that to find out the cost for me was way greater than I was willing to pay. When I spent time with God and didn't hear His voice and didn't sense His presence and couldn't get revelation and didn't seem like my prayers were going to the ceiling and falling right back down on me, I said, God, this is the end of that. I'm not going this direction anymore. What do I got to do and where are you? He said, I'm right where you left me. How bad do you want to see glory? How bad do you want to walk with God forever? How bad do you want that? Because the price is, price is doing it God's way. Price is doing it all God's way. And when your way begins to get in the road, you got to begin to detect that, and you got to begin to tell your mind to hush up, and you got to begin to hush those whispers, and you got to begin to tell your family or whoever it is that's enticing you to do it a different way. You got to be able to tell them, look, I love you so much that I'm not going to leave God. I'm not going to change the plan He set out for my destiny in my life. I had that chore to do once in my own family. I had to tell my family, look, I'm following God. You don't want to follow God? Then adios. I hope you don't adios, but if you do, I'm going to stay true to God. And I had some real challenges through that little process. See, I've had the same thing you've had. I've lost a lot of physical things. I've lost land and homes. To follow God. I gave up a 27-year career to follow God. My family looked at me and shook their head, scowled on their face and said, you're doing what? You've been doing this for 27 years? You kidding me? What are you going to do for retirement? Was their words. I don't know. You suppose maybe God can keep me healthy enough till He wants me to come home? You suppose, huh? Yeah, I think He is. I've been through the same thing you're going through. And I've made a few derailments, but I've always got back on the main line. And I want to encourage you. It's no fun out there without God. There's nights I sit at home and I just kick back in my lazy boy. And I think, and I speak, Dixie, How in the world can anybody live without God? Blows my mind. But there'll be opportunities you have to do just that. But what does it prosper a man if he wins the whole world and loses his soul? What does it prosper a man if he makes big bucks only to lose his soul? The big bucks you dream of making are probably going to be worthless by the time you make it anyway. So, hey, trust God. I'm connected to the economy of God. It's never been bankrupt, nor will it be. And inflation doesn't take over its value. And there's always plenty. So, gentlemen, you got a choice. Father, I'm asking in Jesus' name for you to show my brothers maybe some things that subtly they're deciding to do a different way. Maybe they don't even see it as backsliding. Maybe they don't even see it as getting off your track. Maybe they don't see it that way at all. And if they don't, Lord, would you show them? Would you help them? Would you strengthen them, Lord, as you've strengthened me? And when I say things like that, this word comes to me so quickly, yes, I will if they do what you did. And all I did, gentlemen, was repent, ask him to put me back where I left him. If you forget, go back to where you left. Ask him where it was. He'll show you the exact place. Ask him to forgive you. There have been a few times when I sensed his distancing from me a little bit, and I'm saying, God, what's going on? What's going on? Where'd I go wrong? I stepped wrong in the wrong direction. What was it? And he would show me. Maybe it was just a decision I made at that moment. Maybe it was a decision I'd made a week ago. Or, you know, he'd show me right there, and I'd be able to recover quickly because I hadn't gone that far away from him. Sometimes we get all wrapped up in our things and our life and our mind gets taken over and we just really get busy doing good things. And we can get off track very quickly. So Father, would you show them where they've gotten off track, if they have? Strengthen them, Lord. Show them how to be strengthened. And bring them back to you, Lord. Lord, I ask you to do it in Jesus' name so that through them and through us all you can receive much glory. Amen.